Okay, let's begin this morning with a word of prayer and the purpose of the prayer. Give you a moment, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. You've made the effort of getting up, getting here, maybe some breakfast, maybe not, and getting here. And so let's make it count to the glory of God, the glory of Christ, and to your own credit at the judgment seat of Christ. So that means that we want to do whatever we do in the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? By faith. Let's spend a moment preparing ourselves for the worship together. Heavenly Father, we consider it a privilege to be counted for Christ. How we're counted in the world doesn't matter. It's how we're counted before Christ. We pray, Father, that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay. My wife says I live in this little world, little cave. I go in and study and I come out, go back into it. And in a way, she's right. I had no idea who the skillets were. I know what a skillet is, but I didn't know the skillets were. Now, the skillets is a hard rock Christian band. And John L. Cooper is the head of the group called the Skillets. And this last few days, if you've been into this stuff, he's made some very profound statements. It seems as though some prominent Christians denounced their Christianity. And one was with Hillside Song, another one wrote a book, I Gave Up Kissing on Dates or something like that. What is it? Yeah, Kissing, Dating, Goodbye. Yeah, Kissing, Dating. So I guess he figured he wanted to go back to kissing because he denounced God, denounced Christ. Well, Cooper had a lot of words to say to these people. And I'll tell you what, he was really unbelievable. How right he on. He said, and these people should be ashamed at to making the position that they made without knowing the course that they were headed in their life. But most important, he spent time, John L. Cooper, talking about these people got their theology from the modern praise songs, not from the study of the Word of God. He said, you can't do that. He said, I sing them. But they're not designed for teaching you theology. You've got to go to a church where the preacher studies the Word of God and teaches the Word. That's what he said. You can read it on the internet. It's astounding what this John Cooper had to say about churches today, the absence of teaching sound theology, and how important it is that people get their theology from the Word of God. And so, with that in mind, I still think that some of the old hymns are just filled with theology. So, I know I usually sing this one prior to the Christmas season and prior to resurrection season. But let's open our hymnals to Psalm 127. It has five verses and tells the whole beautiful story. I love the song One Day. So I would like for you to sing it. Sing it out. Whether you're on key or not, I don't care. Sing it out and pay attention to what you're saying. This is a beautiful story, and it just gives the whole the story into five verses. So let's stand and sing together One Day, page 127. Okay, let's address prayer this morning. And first of all, we're happy to see Annelle. I hope you're doing fine, darling. You're in our prayers. And Natalie, you've got a guest with us. Who is that? Doug, glad to have you, Doug. Ron, glad y'all are here. Sorry the circumstances. And you'll keep us posted on that, all right? Now, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? Yes.
Trey and I will be traveling. We'll be out of town next weekend. We're going to Kansas City. But my dad is not doing very well. He's starting to decline again. He kind of hit a plateau there for a little bit where...
Yeah.
Now he's just not talking at all, and his blood pressure is real low. We're trying to adjust his medicine a little bit, but it's not working. The only word he can say is no. So he can't tell. Literally, that's the only word he says. I'm not as burned as that one. He just pray for him. Pray for my mom.
Absolutely.
So, and pray for us, because I'm nervous going out of town. Of course.
Yeah, I understand.
We're only going to be going 3 days, but still.
In change of subject, in Kansas, have you ever been to the World War One Museum?
Yes, sir.
Twice.
Yes, we've been twice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
If you ever go to Kansas City, go to the World War One Museum. It's even the walking across is awesome. It's glass.
Yeah.
And you're walking to the beam window beam, it's quite impressive.
Yeah.
Quite impressive. Yes.
Fran Armstrong asked me, Fran Anderson, I'm sorry, asked me to relay a prayer for her daughter, Ann Armstrong, who will be traveling to China. Their company that she works for is closing out a business there, and they have to fly into Beijing and then be transported to Shenzhen, which is where they're collecting all of those tanks, I understand. So they will be there till the 31st.
She will need our prayers. That's
yes,
a dangerous place
very
to be.
Much so.
Yep. Definitely be in prayer. Thank you. I see another hand over here. Okay. Yes.
More of an announcement that for the people on the internet. I'm going to start adding a page called prayers on the main page. And then we'll put in a couple of different ways that we can request prayers. Then after a month, I'm going to take a vote to see which one y'all actually prefer, so just let me know, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay, very good. Pay attention to it. Yes.
My daughter.
All right.
My project, and Tuesday, Willie Miner, trying to flip big Democrat in Dallas to become a Republican. I got him over here so far. Got to go a little bit further.
To Gigi, that's almost like becoming a believer. I love it, Gigi. Yes.
I'd like to ask if you guys could be in prayer for a young man named Garen Fisher, who used to come to our youth group years ago, who's had quite a tumultuous family life. God has seen fit to bring him back to our community and back to our youth group. He's still in a very tumultuous, dangerous situation, but he's under our roof at least once a week. We saw him last night at Ryan's birthday party, and he's very, very hungry to be here and happy to be here. So just protection for him.
What's his name one more time?
Garen Fisher.
Fish.
Yeah, and for his mom, who is not in a good place whatsoever, but, you know, if God can use this opportunity, she's thought enough to get him here. So we'll use whatever he can,
absolutely,
opportunity to get us. So.
And
for us and our safety.
Right. And to you, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, do I understand it's her birthday?
Tomorrow, she'll be 16.
16. Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
couple of prayer requests. I'm traveling this week. I got to go out of town. I'm going up to Canada for business, and then I'll be back.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, not really, unless you get hit by a moose. keep Ben in your prayers. FOW is kicking his backside. It's the first week, and no matter how everybody thinks how hard their FOW was, it's still hard.
Yeah.
So, please be in prayer for Ben, and just soften his heart and just keep looking to the Lord. So,
okay, soften his heart. Or in Ezekiel, God said, "I'm going to make your heart harder than the Jews' heart." So do we want his heart to be soft or hard, but make him tough?
Endurance.
And for Ben, it's when he has time to think. So you guys that know Ben, for most of us, when he has time to think. He's like, when I'm going through, when they're yelling at me, he's like, it's annoying, it's dumb, or whatever, but it's okay. And then when he stops and has time to think about it, missing home, what am I doing, this is crazy, all that stuff everybody's thinking. So, you know, we talked to him this morning and just encouraging him to get to church and with his buddies, focus on somebody else and how you can help them and, you know, those kind of things. So keep praying one day at a time, 1 hour at a time sometimes.
Yeah. You're thinking about us, you're not thinking about your own friends.
That's right. So we really talked about that. His buddy, his roommate, his old lady, they call it. we'll go down on Friday. We go down this Friday and see them. That's the first time they get a 5-hour pass on Friday night. And then Saturday after their parade, they get an overnight time that we're going to spend with them. And Cameron and Addie.
Oh,
so
we'll be in prayer.
He's looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
And then one other thing, I've got a big decision and things are going on with my job. All good. But just be in prayer that I'll listen to what God says.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
all right, be in prayer.
Make
decisions to be made to travel and for men. All right, any other prayer requests that we're not aware of? Yes.
One of my other granddaughters is going to have a cesarean a cesarean section on
Tuesday.
So I'd like to request prayer that everyone comes out.
Yeah, prayer. That whole area of discussion is in the room. Is prayer.
Speaking of one day at a time and 1 hour at a time.
Right, any other prayer requests?
No. No, ever.
Some of you might remember Clover years and years ago. She came to church. She did birth right there in church. That's how close she was. And I told her, please sit at the back. And if anything happened, I'll go out the back door. And so I understand the trauma that's involved, and we would definitely be in prayer. Thank you. Any other prayer requests? Okay. Let's be in prayer for Doug and what his wife's going through, and for the family at this time. Be in prayer for peace, courage, wisdom, all these wonderful things. The comfort, if there is comfort, is that Daniel is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And when she leaves earth, she's going to be face to face with the Lord. We know that. Now, we sorrow. We definitely sorrow. But our sorrow is tempered by the fact that we know two things. One, that when we die, we're home with the Lord if we're believers in Christ. And two, they'll be with her forever. Because Doug's a believer in Christ. Her father's a believer in Christ. Her sister's a believer in Christ. It'll be a family reunion in heaven that will last forever. So please be in prayer for them at this time and what they're going through in their life. Any other prayer request? The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity. In other words, no gimmicks in giving. No amount. None of this kind of stuff. We give responding to what God has given to us. We give considering it a privilege to be part of the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're responsible for our time and our money. So we've got the internet, we've got missionaries, we've got the young people, we've got so many different ways that God is using this humble assembly sending out the truth of the gospel and of the word of God. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this humble assembly. We thank you, Father, that you've seen fit to use this assembly in so many different ways. It's amazing, Heavenly Father, as little as our assembly is, the massive prayer list, the massive prayer request that you've given to us. We know, Heavenly Father, the power of prayer. We know, Father, that our Savior, your Son, perfect humanity, spent multitude of time in prayer, would often steal away from people that he could be in prayer with you. What an example he is to us. What an encouragement to us to spend our time in prayer. And so, Father, we thank you for this assembly. We pray, Father, you will continue to use it. The spreading of the gospel and the spreading of the word of God. And therefore, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. Continue to use them to the honor and glory of our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Does anyone not have the handout from the back, Set Free to Be a Slave? Does anyone not have a copy? Everyone have a copy? And good, we're ready to move on in our study in Colossians. We are kind of on the countdown of Colossians. I've been working on Ephesians and getting ready to dive into that great book so that we can all partake of the great wisdom that's given in the book of Ephesians. But right now, it's Colossians 4, 7 to 9. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer. Test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Spirit. He is the teacher. I'm not the teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. And my good friend, John Hintz, still makes fun of me. He says that I don't trust God. I don't trust the Spirit to stand up here and teach without notes. And I say, yes, I trust him that he gave me these notes. And so I got to depend on him. But let's begin with a word of prayer, preparing ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. As we consider our lives on earth, brief as they are, we, Heavenly Father, desire that our names be on the roster of heroes. that our names be included with the faithful, the beloved servants. As we close out the book of Colossians, Heavenly Father, we pray that these names will penetrate our souls, be an encouragement to us on how we use each day of our life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, Colossians 4:7. As to all my affairs, this is Paul. What's going on? He's in prison. He's in home prison in Rome. And he says, according to all that's going on with me, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant. So there's three desires you can throw for. Beloved brother, faithful servant, bondservant. To the Lord will bring you information. I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know about my our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. Now, Colossians 4:9, and with him, Onesimus. Okay, this is an interesting guy. A runaway slave whose owner is not only a member of the church at Colossae, but they meet in his home. Now, we've studied, well documented last week, the Bible does not condemn slavery. And because someone is a slave owner, doesn't mean they're in sin. Doesn't mean they're out of the plan of God. This is a follow-up on that aspect. He is a slave owner, and he has the church meeting in his home. Let's just read through the letter to Philemon, because Philemon is Onesimus' owner. They meet in his home. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. So Philemon should be listed as one of the prison epistles, as far as I'm concerned, along with Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Higher criticism. Now, in seminary, you're required to study higher criticism. Higher criticism studies those men and women who've set themselves up as the elite in understanding the Bible. And the higher critics reject the epistle as being written by Paul, and the main ground is that it contains no deep doctrines as all of Paul's other writings. Therefore, certainly it wasn't written by Paul. Paul's not allowed to write a personal letter, and it's not allowed for that personal letter to be part of the Word of God. So much for higher criticism. This epistle is part of the divinely inspired Word of God. You got to remember several things about divine inspiration. First of all, God the Holy Spirit inspired every writer. Then, God the Holy Spirit preserved that writing, starting with Job, then the writing of Moses, and so forth. So, first of all, he inspired the writing. Secondly, he maintained that writing. Third, the Holy Spirit guided the 66 books that would be make up the Holy Bible. I always like people, well, it shouldn't, this book should have been, and that book, as if God blew it. People, this is His book. He didn't blow it. These are the books that He wanted to be part of the Bible. Then, so now we have all that, but even that, we're required to have the Holy Spirit this morning. For without the Holy Spirit, none of us, including me, could understand the Word of God. He is the teacher of it. So we're very thankful to the Holy Spirit in working with the Word of God. This epistle is part of the divinely inspired Word of God. It teaches us some wonderful points on the impact of spiritual love, leading of the Holy Spirit. It also teaches some interesting points on giving that we'll look at. But don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to take out your billfolds or anything like that, your checkbooks or your credit cards. Philemon, if you want to, that's fine. Now, Philemon is part of the Colossian church and part of the predicament that they have to deal with. Now, what do you think? This whole assembly's got to deal with this runaway slave. It could cause a lot of trouble. You got to remember, people can cause trouble in an assembly by other trouble. See? And it just is amazing the caliber of maturity of an assembly can be noted by things. This assembly has been criticized for something I think you should be praised for. We had what could have been a monumental detriment when we lost our pianist and why we lost him. I think we handled it and you handled it superbly. No gossip, no maligning, just move right on. But one person left the church because they were upset it didn't cause a lot of trouble. They would have rather seen a church split over that. And there are some people that are like that. So here is a runaway slave. I could just hear some people, maybe in that congregation, well, Philemon, you ought to get him and kill him. And he could have. He could have killed him. That was legal under Roman law. Philemon, you ought to do this. Philemon ought to do that. We ought to move out of Philemon's house. If he can't even control his slaves, why should we be me? And on and on and on. So the church is also in a testing here. How they're going to handle what's going on. And they're going to get their clue from Paul. So understanding the book of Philemon is important. Philemon is part of the Colossian local church, part of the predicament that they're in. The book is made up of 25 verses and is easily divided into five parts. Outline of the book of Philemon, verses 1 through 3, salutation. Verses 4 through 7, the spiritual maturity of Philemon. He was a slave owner, mature believer in Jesus Christ. Being mature means that he knew and understood a great deal of Bible doctrine. Verses 8 through 12, the purpose of the letter. It deals with the social problem of slavery. How not to deal with it, and how to deal with it as Christians. Verses 13 to 15, the spiritual value of the slave. And then finally, 16 through 25, the crisis of grace. What is Philemon going to do? What's the church going to do? So, salutation, verses 1 through 3. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he is in prison, but he's also a prisoner. We're all prisoners of Christ. And Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother, and fellow worker, slave owner, fellow worker. And to Apphia, our sister, that's Philemon's wife. And to Archippus, our fellow soldier. Apparently he is the pastor in Laodicea. And to the church in your house. Philemon had a large enough house that the assembly met in his house for church services. We don't know how often. Sundays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, I don't know. I'm still amazed, and I mean this, people, that the wisest in the days, once a week, invite 20 to 30, 40 teenagers over to their house every week. That is a frightening thought. That is frightening that you would invite, just open the door to teenagers. Come on in. See? Have at it. See? And we'll even feed you. Can you imagine that? See? So, here is Philemon opening up his house. Then he says in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the spiritual maturity of Philemon, verses 4 through 7. The spiritual status of the slave owner Philemon. And the first thing we learn is that we should be in constant prayer for believers who are growing in the Word of God. I thank my God always making mention of you in my prayers. People, yes, we are to pray. There's our prayer warrior. How you doing? Good to see you. Alright. People want to pray for people in trouble. And that's why I have prayer requests. We need to know when people need our prayers. But let me tell you who Paul prays for, who Christ prays for in John 17. He prays for believers that are in the conflict. He prays for believers growing in the Word of God. See? He prays for Kit. He prays for the wises, the Dades. He prays for all of you who come and study the Word of God. He prays for the Coopers. See? They may not be going through a tough situation at that particular moment. Yes, they are. They're growing in the Word of God. They're growing in His Word. They want to learn about Christ. They want to learn about God. That puts them in the battle. Satan can't handle that. Satan doesn't like that. So, they need your prayers. So look what Paul says. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul gives thanks for the slave owner. But because of his spiritual maturity and being used of God. Because I hear of your love. How about that? I pray for you because I hear of your love. Spiritual love by the filling of the Spirit. And of the faith. Here this refers to that which is believed or the doctrine in his soul, which you have toward concerning the Lord Jesus and toward concerning all the saints. And now his slave, Onesimus, is now a saint, still his slave, but to be brought in as a fellow member of Christ now. Okay, this is important. As this letter, he commends Philemon for his doctrinal understanding of Jesus Christ and the place of every believer. In a moment, he will inform Philemon that the slave Onesimus is now a believer in Christ. When he ran away, stole money, and ran away, he was not a believer in Jesus Christ. But since that time, things have changed with this young man. The slave has one, become to know Christ as his Savior, and two, started his own spiritual growth in the Word of God, and three, serving the Lord by serving with Paul. So three phenomenal things have happened with this Gentile slave. Okay, verse 6. And I pray that the fellowship, the sharing of your faith, knowledge and doctrine, may become effective or promote the knowledge of every good thing which is in you. Now this is plural, a preferred textual variant, us, as Christ, for Christ's sake, for Christ's benefit. Now, Paul prays that the sharing of his knowledge, now think about this because this involves all of us. Paul prays that the sharing of his knowledge of doctrine will be put to use among promoting doctrine for the benefit of Christ. That is that from, see, what a lot of people do, I'm sorry, there are people, not a lot necessarily. What some people do, they want to shine because of their knowledge. They want you to know they know so much. They want you to know they know more than you. People, that's not why we study the Word of God. We study the Word of God that others will desire to know our Savior. Others will desire to know the Word of God that we know, that it will give them the strength and the joy and the courage that it gives to us. See, that's why we learn the Word of God. So, this is from Philemon's spiritual love, knowledge of biblical truth. Paul expects this to result in the benefit of the Lord, for the benefit of the Lord, and in the benefit of all the saints, all believers, especially Onesimus, because he also is now a saint. Think about this for a long time. This, not while I'm teaching though, but on your own time. This is a powerful prayer. We should all imitate the prayer for one another, that all the biblical things we're learning here may promote the learning of Jesus Christ in other people. Then he goes on to verse 7. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. I hope your love gives comfort and inner happiness to those around you. Your husband, your wife, your children, your family, people at church, people at work, people you run into in life. whether it's on a plane, train, car, whatever. I hope that your love of Christ gives them a peace and a joy that they want to have. That's the point here. So this is a powerful prayer. We want to imitate it. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints, namely those in Colossae, have been refreshed through you, brother, fellow believer in Jesus Christ. Now, purpose of the letter. Philemon, verse 8. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ, because of his position as apostle, and the authority that goes with that gift, to order you to do what is proper. Proper according to who he is in Christ. To treat his runaway slave, Onesimus, in a manner that is glorifying to Christ. Paul is saying, I do have the authority to tell you to do that. Just tell you to do it. Yet, for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged, having the rank of apostle, having the wisdom of older men, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. As an apostle, Paul could have ordered Philemon to forgive and accept back Onesimus as his slave, without penalty. But he prefers to leave this entirely up to the free will decision of Philemon. This is up to Philemon what he's going to do when Onesimus comes home. Even with this letter, it's going to be up to you. People, one of the worst things that happened with the Reformation is that immediately after the Reformation by Martin Luther, Satan went to work in Switzerland with John Calvin and put forth the evil of Calvinism, that no one has decisions. All decisions are made by God. And we all have put into our head a chip, from like a computer chip, to tell us what we're going to do. If you sin, it's up to God. God programmed you to sin. If you believe, that's up to God. God programmed you to believe. If you don't believe, God programmed you to believe, not to believe. What kind of God is that? That would create a being and create him to spend eternity in a lake of fire. That's a pitiful view of God. It's a blasphemous view of God. God gives to us free will. Every one of you have it. Free will. You can make up your own mind about Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can make up your own mind about the Holy Spirit as the power of your life. You can make up your own mind about where the Word of God is going to fit into your life. It's up to you. So each of us has a free will. So, verse 10, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus. I call him my child because he's led him to the Lord, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. Paul accomplished what Philemon could not, and that was to bring about the slave Onesimus to the saving knowledge of Christ. Whatever happened with Philemon, he didn't lead the slave to Christ. But Onesimus went to Paul, as you understand why now, I think, talking with Paul, because see, what happens is, if a slave runs away in the Roman Empire at this time, the slave owner has the right to pursue them and have them executed. Or the slave could go to someone that they will appeal to that person to appeal to their slave owner on their behalf. At that moment, when a slave goes to someone to ask them to appeal to their owner not to take it out on them, they are no longer considered a runaway slave. So, this is what he's done. He doesn't want Philemon to chase him. He knows that Philemon respects Paul because of the church. So he goes to Rome, seeks out Paul, and Paul leads him to Jesus Christ as Savior, and then starts teaching him the Word of God. So that's what's going on. Now, verse 11. Who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful. People, he was a useless slave. You know, any of you ever had a useless children? This is a useless slave. See? A useless, no good slave. See? A slave. He stole from him. He caused trouble. He's no good. He was useless to you. But now is useful. Greatly useful in the Lord's work, both to you and to me, Paul. Wow. That's got to impress Philemon. That this slave is important to Paul. Wow. Verse 12. I have sent him back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart. Paul now has spiritual love directed toward the slave, Onesimus. The spiritual value of the slave. Verse 13. Whom I wish to keep with me. Now, I'd rather just keep the slave here with me. But I can't do that. He's your slave. So I'm sending him back. That's the idea here. I wish to keep him with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. See? Now, often we can give financial aid to those who are serving the Lord. But people, sometimes there are other things we can send or do for them that will advance their spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not always money. See? And in this case, it's a person. See? Now, 14. But, without your consent, I do not want to do anything. So that your goodness, his character by doctrine, in his soul, being led of the Spirit, would not be, in effect, by compulsion, in other words, by Paul's exhortation, but of your own free will. Sorry, Calvinist, you missed this great blessing from God. We all have free will. We can make a decision where the Word of God is going to fit, where Christ is going to fit into our life. See? Where these things are going to count. Verse 15. Perhaps he was, for this reason, separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. Now, the crisis of faith begins in verse 16. No longer as a slave, that he would be back to you forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother in Christ, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, I don't have it on here, but I want to point this out. Parent, one of the most wonderful things, and we've studied this many times, the most wonderful privilege is to lead your children to Christ as Savior. But if they believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, that is enriches your relationship with them. They are now no longer just your son or your daughter. They are now fellow members of the body of Christ with you. They are now with you, servants of Christ. See? You're still their parent. You still have all the responsibilities. But your relationship with them has changed. It's just been enriched. And that's what he's saying here. Why more so for Philemon than Paul? Here we learn something about giving. You give $100, and of course, this is beneficial to whomever you give it to. But it is more beneficial to you, see, both in time and at the judgment seat of Christ. The principle here is that, let's say, you give $100 to Spring Valley Bible Church. Okay, that goes into the needs of Spring Valley Bible Church. But it is multiplied in your relationship with Christ and with God. No, this does not mean you will get back $100,000 as some preachers like to proclaim. This is applied at the judgment seat of Christ. These are the things that will be covered when you and I stand personally with no one else, not the preacher, not husband, not wife, not parent, face to face with the Lord, and have your life evaluated as a believer in Christ. And it's going to happen to every believer. You can count on that. Some believers really look forward to the rapture. Get me out of this mess. Say, get me out of here. Get the rapture occur. Well, that's fine. But just remember, the very next thing that happens is you'll stand before the judge who will evaluate your life. Say, that's why people, when you give, be sure you're filled with the Spirit. When you're stopping up someone with a flat tire, I don't guess flat tires are too common anymore. But and I can't stop anybody with a broken down car because I don't know a thing about it. I'd open up the hood and say, yep, it's broken down. See? Well, I know that, dummy. See? But whenever you stop and help people along the way, be sure you're filled with the Spirit. Whenever you give some money to someone outside of a restaurant or somewhere, be sure you're filled with the Spirit. See? Make it count. Make it profitable to you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I give everything that I have to the poor so that I become poor, but do not have love, it profiteth me nothing. You want it to profit you. And where does it profit you? Not in time. Don't fall for that stuff. You give five, God will give you 10 back. That's not in the Bible. See? But I'll tell you what is in the Word of God. You will be blessed at the judgment seat of Christ. And that is a reality. One of the most frightening things about the first day of school is that final exams are on the way. See? That's one of the first things you learn. First day, final exam on its way. Well, your day before the judgment seat of Christ is on its way. It's coming. You can't avoid it. You can't skip it. See, it's there. Now, verse 17. If then you regard me a partner, maybe you do, maybe you don't, partner in Christ, doing His work, accept or receive Him, Onesimus the slave, as you would me. People, that is powerful. Here's a slave. He stole money, caused trouble, totally useless. He's come back, and I'm to accept him now as I would the Apostle Paul, who's taught me the truth of church age doctrine. Boy, you're asking a lot, Paul. No, Paul really isn't, people. Because you see now, when he looks at Onesimus, he's not looking at that slave. He's looking at a believer in Jesus Christ. Just as parents must look at their children. Just as we must look at each other. Believers in Jesus Christ. Fellow heirs. Fellow partners in this. That's how we should look at each other. So, then you regard me a partner? Accept or receive him as you would me. The slave, Onesimus, is returning to his master when he has stolen money, then ran away. And he's carrying this letter from Paul. Paul, please know that Philemon is free under Roman law to do whatever he wishes with this runaway slave, even have him killed. Now, verse 18. But! There it is. I try to teach y'all these kind of words. But, that, therefore, important words in the Bible. But, I love you, but. Yeah, right. I know what that's going to do. Okay. But, if he has wronged you in any way, and he has, or owes you anything, and he does, charge that to my account. If he stole 500 from you, I owe you 500, not him. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. Now, I would never be so bold as to say I'm like Paul, but in one way I am like Paul. Our handwriting is pitiful. See, it's hard to read. Difficult to read Paul's writing, impossible to read my writing. I even have my wife sign checks and stuff. They'd never figure out it was me. They'd think, boy, somebody, some kid is signing his check. See? So, I understand what Paul is saying. I'm my own handwriting, writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Why does he owe? Because he gave him the gospel. Paul has led this slave owner, Philemon, to the Lord. Just as he has led the slave Onesimus to the Lord. I didn't know you, but I don't know you, but I owe my mother. I know here's what I'm saying. I don't know about you, but I owe my mother not for all the wonderful things she did and the sacrifices, but because that dear old lady led me to the Lord. That is the most memorable thing I have about her. She led me to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know the moment it happened. I know exactly where I was, sitting on her lap, crying. I was crying because I woke up from a nightmare about hell, and I didn't want to burn in hell. All I could figure is I must have been really bad at 7 years old, and I was scared to death, so I must have been a bad boy. See? And that dear lady gave me the gospel, and right there erased the fear. See? And I owe her for that. Now, verse 20. Yes, please understand what I'm saying to you about Onesimus. Brother Philemon, let me benefit from you in the Lord by your forgiving Onesimus and sending him back to work with me, Paul. Refresh my heart in Christ. Very personal. This is very personal between Paul and Philemon. Don't read past this beautiful phrase. Think about it. Do you refresh others in Christ? Refresh my heart in Christ. Do you refresh your husbands, your wives, your children, your parents, people at church, people in life? Do you refresh them? See? This is what will happen if this slave comes back to work with him in the spreading of the good news of the gospel and teaching the word of God. It will refresh him. Having confidence in your obedience, not to Paul, but to the Lord. His obedience not to Paul, but to the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience to the Lord, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. He might even set this believing slave free. He might send him two or three slaves. Verse 22. At the same time, also, prepare me a lodging. For I hope, I anticipate, that through your prayers, I will be given to you. I will be able to come to Colossae and stay at your home with you. Verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. As do Mark, Aristarchus, we're going to study him in a moment, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. And he wants this mess to be one of his fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Okay, now let's go back to Colossians 4:9. Colossians 4:9, and with him, Onesimus, that is with Tychicus, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother. So, he is a faithful and beloved brother who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here in prison in Rome. And with him, this is traveling with this free Gentile, Tychicus, on his way from Rome to Colossae. Onesimus. Now notice how Paul refers to this slave, our faithful and beloved brother. Paul has led this slave to believe in Jesus Christ as his Savior. That not only changes who he is in time, it changes who he is for all eternity. And is sending him back to Philemon, his master. On earth, he's still his master. Your child may believe in Christ as Savior, they're still your child. They're still under your authority. You still have responsibility to teach them. See? But your relationship with them is rich because now they're fellow heirs of Christ. See? We noted how precious it is to be known as faithful in verse 7, where Paul used this same word to refer to the Gentile free man, Tychicus. And here we have traveling with from Rome to Colossae, a Gentile freeman, and a Gentile slave. And Paul not only refers to this slave as faithful, but as beloved brother. People, this is not some sweetness and light. This adjective is from the root agapao, to love. Let's just note a few things about it. I spent a great deal of time, but I don't want you to pass this by. This is not just beloved. This is important. One, this adjective is used to refer to someone who is highly esteemed or valued or desired. Not every believer is beloved. Two, it is used only of Christians as united with God through Jesus Christ. Three, it is used of Christians as they are united with one another. We should consider every believer as beloved. Colossians 1:7, our beloved fellow bondservant. Four, this adjective, beloved, is used to show every believer how she or he is related to God. Romans 1:7, beloved of God. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we're children of God. Now, after faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, children of God, we must all come to Him as a child with childlike faith. Five, every pastor should regard everyone who consistently comes to hear his teaching as beloved. 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you, as aliens and strangers on earth, to obtain from fleshly lust, to abstain from fleshly lust, which wages war against the soul. And remember, the battle is for our souls. Now, point six. When accompanied with the word son, it refers to the one and only Son of God, Jesus the Christ. In the New Testament, used only in reference to Jesus as the Son beloved of God. At his baptism, Luke 3:22, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him, Jesus Christ, in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Why the Father is well pleased with the Son? Isaiah 42:1, behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. That's why he's his beloved son. Note, while we know that it was out of his love for the nations that he sent his beloved son, his son came to satisfy his justice, his righteousness, his perfect righteousness. God sent his love to solve his righteousness. So, I hope you can see that this is valued adjective used to describe why everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Savior is precious, and why you are depressed with when you are depressed with life, just remember, you're beloved of God. In our 9:15 class, we're studying a very important study. We're looking at probably the most well-known verse in the Bible and the least properly understood, John 3:16. We're looking at it from the Greek context. It is involved, it is technical, but it needs to be done that we can correctly understand God's love. People, the issue is not being loved by God. The issue is benefiting from his love. For all eternity, in the lake of fire, people were loved of God, but they're not benefited by it. A man may be loved by his wife, but not benefited by it. A wife might be loved by her husband, but not benefited by it. They choose other people, other things. A son may be loved by his mother, but not benefited by it. He chooses to reject it. The issue is not being loved. The issue is being benefited. by that love. When someone says, I love all homosexuals, what does that mean? What do they say? Generally what they're doing is they're trying to put down Christians who say that homosexuality is an abominable sin. But I wonder, what do you mean by that? Do you accept them? Do you accept their homosexuality? God doesn't. So what do you mean? Are they benefited by your love? How are they benefited by your love? See, the issue is not that God loves the world only. The issue is being benefited by it. And to be benefited by the love of God demands an act of faith. Believe on His Son, and you will not perish, but have everlasting life. See? So that becomes the big issue with understanding this love. So, and with him, continuing 4:9 now, and with him, Tychicus. With him, that's with Tychicus, Onesimus. So here is a free Gentile believer, Tychicus, traveling with a slave, a Gentile believer, who Paul now describes as our faithful and beloved brother. We are all related to each other by our being in Christ, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the point of faith in Jesus Christ. See, we're all related. Who, referring to Onesimus, is, and the present active indicative is very important here, because Paul is using it now to in the description, not of being a slave from Colossae, but is used here to introduce him as one who is now a believer in Jesus Christ. Still a slave, but a believer in Christ. This slave has most likely caused a great deal of trouble in this assembly, being that he was a disobedient slave of the man in whose house they assembled for worship. Knowing people, there were probably some who wanted to move out of his house for the assembly, while others wanted him to kill his runaway slave. I could see that. People in the assembly, kill him! People in the assembly, let's move out! He can't even control his slaves. This would could cause a lot of trouble. While others probably wanted him to just forget it. Forget him! Move on! See? Just escape it all. It's so interesting how believers cannot keep their nose out of other believers' business. Some things are not of your business. See? Now, who is one of your number, one of you? That is, he is from the very house where they meet. They, both, the teacher, Tychicus, and the slave, will inform you about the whole situation here. Now, how about that? They are now, this is beautiful, not only to accept him as a fellow member of the beloved, but they have to listen to him. He's going to stand up and tell them about Paul. Most likely, he will tell them how Paul led him to the Lord. I can imagine that would be part of his report. And they're going to listen to him. This is calling on these people. You're in Christ. Let's see that spiritual love work now. You going to get up and walk out? Well, I'm not going to listen to this runaway slave. Or, you know what? He's a believer. Paul accepts him. I'll give it a shot. I'm here. See? They will inform you. Make something known to you you desire to know. And you will be benefited by knowing these things. They have advantage. It will be to their spiritual advantage to know the things Tychicus and Onesimus are going to tell them. Now, Paul names other believers who are part of his reaching the world for Christ. These are their list of people who are distinguished by something they did or something they've endured. Linda Sue Sheehan, John Ergane, Lisa L. Young. You know who they were? There were three people of some thousand who died in 911 in New York. When Judith and I were in New York a couple of weeks ago, we went to, and I think it was just so beautiful what they would do. How are you going to build a monument to these people? And what they did were the two towers, just hardly a block from each other. And they built, if you haven't seen it, they built a big thing like the big, about as big as this room, and water just flows into it, and then flows out, and keeps coming around. And then all around the outside are the names of all the people who died. It's just absolutely intriguing. Chief William McGovern, Lieutenant Thomas O'Hagan, just two of the first responders who died on 911. Seth, Inish, Kena, going through these, Methuselah, Noah, generations from Adam to the flood, list in the Bible. Shem, Ham, Japheth, sons born to Noah after the flood. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesse, father of David, Solomon, Jewish line of Jesus Christ, Abraham, Terah, Nahor, and then go through the whole list, Gentile line from Adam to Jesus Christ. Point, there are a multitude of lists of names in the Bible, and we can learn so much from every one of these lists. And now we come to the list in Colossians chapter 4, and this is where we'll pick it up next Sunday morning. I don't want to rush through Aristarchus and the others that are so listed here. We're going to learn from them. I want you to desire. I want my name on some of those lists. I missed out on the 911. See, I couldn't be a first responder or anything. But people, if you're alive, you can come part of the list of faithful servants of the Lord and be read at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we must always remember we're all slaves. Slaves and servants of Jesus our Lord and Savior. He purchased us with His spiritual death on the cross. He gave His all for us. We now belong to Him. What is remarkable about Christ is that He gives us the freedom to decide for ourselves if we'll serve Him or not. That's just remarkable. He purchased us, we're His slaves, and He's so gracious to say, you have your freedom. You don't want to serve me, you don't have to serve me. If you want to serve me, serve me. And that differs for each one of us. Each one of us in this room, each one who will hear this on the internet, it differs. How we serve Him at different stages in our lives. Some, it may be a challenge. We may lose our job. We may lose something by being a servant of Christ. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning, being a servant of Christ, find a joy in that, and live our life to benefit Christ. I pray, Father, your Spirit can use these things to the honor and glory of Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.